preach here. I don't know about you other preachers, but it almost feels like you're going to the gallows as you're sitting there waiting. You know, you're listening to the singing, and to be honest, you're not really there. Yeah, that's right. Whether in the body or us, maybe that's what Paul was talking about. And so this certainly is not the third heaven. But if you will, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Yeah, you get to focusing on your message and hoping that the Lord will show up and give you liberty. You need that more than about anything. I appreciate the folks praying for me. I guess the cat's out of the bag, brother. They knew I was preaching. So I do appreciate you praying for me. So we're going to do our best tonight to bring you something from the Word of God and try to help you and try to edify you. And maybe help you some things that you're struggling with here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse 20. It says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." I'm going to preach to you a message tonight. I'm going to entitle it, "Whose Table Are You Eating At?" Amen. Whose table are you eating at? Brother Sam, would you open us up, please, for prayer?
Father God, thank you for another opportunity to send your house. Lord, thank you for your blessed word, the King James Bible. Lord, I pray that you would bless my brother as he stands to preach one more time. Lord, that you fill him with the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that you calm his nerves, give him liberty. Lord,
yes.
Give him the words that he needs to say. Lord, help us. We love you, and we thank you. It's in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. It was about 6 months ago when I had my last doctor's visit, and my cholesterol levels were a little bit elevated. I guess once you get past 40, you have to deal with some of that kind of stuff. When you're younger, you can eat trash, and it doesn't matter. And so, such is life. And so I had to make a little bit of changes here and there, and so I cut out a lot of red meat, because that's the first thing they tell you to cut out, because it's fatty and those kind of things. And so I cut out some red meat. And for the past, I don't know, 2.5 months or so, I've been training for this 10K, and I've been running my face off. And I felt a little bit different than I used to. Like I said, when you're in your 20s, you can eat whatever. But I wasn't getting recovery as fast as I used to, and my legs were fatigued, and I could not recover. And then it dawned on me one day, well, one of the reasons why is because I cut out that red meat in my diet. And see, what I was doing, I was malnourished. I was malnourishing myself. And regardless of what the doctors say, you're going to need some meat. And so there's some benefits, some health benefits that you get from red meat. I just wrote a couple down here. It's high in iron. Okay, iron sharpeneth iron. You're going to need iron. It prevents fatigue. Okay, you've got a journey in front of you. You're going to need some meat in your diet to prevent that fatigue. Zinc, it helps your immune system, okay? You're going to, once again, you're on a far journey here, and you're going to need something to help you in your immune system. B12 is for nerve function, okay? You start losing nerve function without that B12. And it has essential amino acids in the red meat that you can only find in that type of meat that you're going to need for muscle growth and those kind of things. And so I had been malnourishing myself and wondering why my knees were so shaky, because I hadn't been eating red meat. And this message came to me while I was in the shower, as I was sitting there thinking about it. And that 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 came to me. "Now that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." All right, so what are they doing? They're giving heed to some other voice, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Notice this, commanding to abstain from meats and forbidding to marry. So what you're going to see in the last days is the propensity to keep you off the meat and keep you on the milk. See, if Satan has a battle plan, if he has a motive, it is to keep you on the milk and not on the meat. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, and then by reason of use have them exercised to discern between both good and evil." And so if you're not on the meat and you're constantly just on the milk, you're not going to have any discernment. And that's right where the devil wants you. He doesn't want you to have discernment in these last days. I quoted this morning, Isaiah 28:9, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. It's okay to be on the milk when you first get saved, but eventually you're going to have to get off the milk and you're going to have to get on some meat. If you're going to have any discernment in the last days, you're going to have to get off of the milk and you're going to have to get on the meat. Now, why are so many people confused today? Because they're just on the milk. They never got off the milk. They never got on the meat. And so they're malnourished Christians, and they're a bunch of, I guess you'd say, carnal Christians, because that's all they ever do is they just drink milk. Amen? I got this from Brother John Barnhart the other day, talking about 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable. Right, for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. He gave this to me, and I asked him, I said, brother, you sure not called to preach? He's got some good stuff. He said, doctrine is what's right. Reproof is what's wrong. Correction is how to get right. Okay, and instruction and righteousness is how to stay right. If you will not endure sound doctrine, you don't know what's right. If you can't endure sound doctrine, you will not know what's wrong. You won't know how to get right, and you won't know how to stay right. Okay? You'll heap to yourselves teachers having itching ears. And I love to teach. Obviously, I love to teach the Bible. But sometimes you just need to get down and just get preached to. Because, listen, your flesh is no good and my flesh is no good. So if the devil has a motive in these last days, it's to keep you off of the meat. Amen? So let's look at a motive of the devil and how he works. I wrote these notes down. The motive of the enemy is to keep you off the Lord's meat, keep you on the king's meat. I'm talking about Nebuchadnezzar, a portion of the king's meat. All right? The purpose is to deceive you, to defile you, to draw you away, to destroy and to devour. Right? Satan walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that is the downward spiral that he wants each and every one of you. If you're saved tonight, that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to go down. He wants to deceive you. He wants to defile you. He wants to draw you away after your own lusts. Okay, having itching ears. That's what happens. You get drawn away after your own lusts. He wants to destroy and he wants to devour you. And the thing about it is, he comes to you in a time that you're discouraged. And you're disconnected from the Word of God. See, if he can get you disconnected from that Word, and in a time of discouragement, he can get you separated like those sheep. And once he sees you out there by yourself and isolated, that's when he's going to devour you. Amen. And see, the thing about sheep is, they'll always listen to their master, to their shepherd. But the only time they won't is when they're sick, when they're malnourished. That's why Paul told those at Ephesus, he said, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. When the Lord in John 21 asked Peter, dost thou love me? Yea, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. That's our job as ministers of the gospel, is to feed the flock of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ purchased it with his own blood, and they need to be fed. Because if you don't get fed, you're going to be sick, and you're going to fall away. So you need the meat. So some motives of the enemy, how he comes at you. You can look over here. He comes after your morals. Amen. That's the first thing he goes after. See, Daniel, he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Yeah. He purposed in his heart. Yeah. So he already made a decision prior to that he was not going to defile himself. But everybody else in Babylon, they went ahead and took the king's meat. And so what he does is he comes after your morals. Think of, you probably know the story in Numbers 25 of Baal-Peor. Okay? Balak tried to get Balaam to curse the nation of Israel. Couldn't do it because God already blessed him. So him and Balak get together and he says, I'll tell you what you do. You get God to curse them. Because what you'll do is you just set up a nice little festival with all these women and all this music and everything else. And you get them to bow down, you get them to fornicate and eat things sacrificed to idols, just like that spirit of Jezebel, and God will have to kill him. Why? Because he's holy. But I want you to notice something about Baal-Peor and the timing of that thing. In Numbers 25, it takes place, but earlier in Numbers 21, That's when they begin murmuring about that light bread. They said, our soul loatheth this light bread. That's the manna. So what do? They murmured about the manna. They murmured about, that's a type of the Word of God. So when you murmur about the manna, much study is a weariness of the flesh. And you get sick and tired of studying this old book. You start loathing this book, you give place to the devil. And what he begins to do is he comes in there, and the first time that word wiles ever shows up is in Numbers 25. That's his tactic. So he comes in there as a slithering little serpent, and he infiltrates, and he attacks your morals. That's what he does, because the two strongest instincts any man or any woman has is their stomach and sex.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. And that's what he goes after. They were fornicating and eating things sacrificed to idols.
Yep.
So he attacks their morals. Because they murmured, they gave place to the devil. And so you see over there in the plains of Dura, you'll see the three Hebrew children. He comes after their morals at Baal Peor, but then he comes after the music over there in Daniel chapter 3. What do you think you're seeing in the modern day church? First he attacks the morals. They don't even blush anymore at things that are done. Even in the church house, it's accepted. Because why? Because your morals have been eroded. Over time, the 1960s is, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. What did that do to this nation? It attacked our morals. Took the Ten Commandments out of school. Right? Took prayer out of school. Look at our nation now. It's a far cry from what it used to be. Amen? How does he do it? He just attacks the morals first. You let down your guard, next he comes in with the music. And you'll notice over there in Daniel chapter 3, you got the three Hebrew boys. And they're told, at the sound of the sackbut and the dulcimer and all the different instruments of music, when those begin to sound, you're going to fall down and you're going to worship at that music. And they don't bend, they don't bow, they don't break, and they don't burn. Why is that? Well, it's interesting because they must have been eating at the Lord's table, not at the king's table. See, if you're going to be able to finish this race strong, you're going to have to eat at the Lord's table. And oftentimes people look at Daniel chapter 3 and they wonder, you know, it's interesting because you don't find Daniel in that chapter. He's not in there. It's all about the three Hebrew boys and the Lord showing up in the midst of that fire. And I got to thinking on this thing and meditating on the Word, and the Lord showed me something. The reason that you don't find Daniel in Daniel chapter 3 is because their mentor was gone. Their true character was going to be tested. See, it's one thing to do right when your mentor's around.
Yes, sir.
When accountability's around.
Yes, sir.
But what are you going to do when your mentor's not there? When he's not looking? The youth. What's the youth? What are you doing when your mentor, your youth pastor's not around? See, it's one thing. See, Daniel and those three Hebrew boys, they didn't just look the part. You could come in here and you could look the part. But what are you doing when nobody's looking? Whose table are you eating at? The Lord's table or the devil's table? So the mentor was not around, but they passed the test. It says in Daniel chapter 1, he was fattier in flesh than all the others. You ever wonder how Daniel was eating pulse? And he was fattier in flesh and his countenance was better than all the other children? And his three cohorts there, you ever wonder how that was? Well, let's look out at the scripture. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 22. He's talking about his words in verse 20. Attend unto my words. Notice what it says in Proverbs 4:22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So what was Daniel and the three Hebrew children living off of? The Word of God. Look at verse 20 again. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. What are you listening to? You listen to the voice of God, or are you being seduced? See, God's meat sustains. The devil's meat seduces. That's another spirit. Look at it. Continue on. Look at verse 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. What are you looking at? So what are you listening to? What are you looking at? Are you listening to the right things or the wrong things? You looking at the right things or are you looking at the wrong things? This is simple preaching. Look at verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks Him. And health to all their flesh. Look at verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. It was a decision from the heart. Now, I want you to notice that. So what are you leaning on? What are you leaning on? John, in John 13, I think it's 23, you'll find him in that upper room, and John, the apostle, is leaning on the bosom of Jesus because it's the closest to his heart. Are you close to the Lord's heart? Or are you over here in left field somewhere? Are you connected to the Word of God, or are you disconnected? Amen. See, those three Hebrew children, they were listening, they were looking, and they were leaning on the right things. Amen. That's what you're going to have to do if you're going to stay in this race. Amen. Amen? Because you can't do it on your own strength. That's why the Lord said, for without me you can do nothing. Right. And so they passed the test. They passed the test because they had true character. It's not what you do in church. It's what you do when nobody's looking. That is the test of character. Reputation is what other people think of you. Character is who you are. Amen? They passed the test. You remember the children of Israel, Exodus chapter 32? As soon as their mentors went up to the Mount Sinai, what happened? Children of Israel rose up to play. Where'd their music come out of? Egypt type of the world, right? So they rose up to play because their mentor was gone. And Satan knows, once again, sex and your stomach. And he knows how to get you moving and a shaking. Amen. And doing the boogie woogies and all the things with the music. And now you see that in churches. You know why you see that in churches nowadays, in the modern church? Because all the preachers, probably about my age, they're the problem. You know why? Because all their mentors died off. And they said, finally, we get to do it our way. So the morals change. The standards change. The music changes. You better be careful about that music, because you know who the first music director was? Lucifer. So you think that he doesn't know how to use music to his advantage? That's what he did in the plains of Dura. And that's what all the young people chase after. That's why you see all the mega churches growing. Why? Because the morals are lower. Come as you are, leave as you came. No conviction. Without conviction, there's not a conversion. Right? And then you change the music. Well, guess what? Now your populations went up in your church, and now your paycheck goes up. Am I telling the truth? You better believe I am. See, this is old-fashioned. They don't want to hear this kind of stuff. Listen, when I used to be a member of a Methodist church, when I was unsaved, I can remember many people coming in from the Baptist church to join the Methodist church because they were tired of being told what to do. They were sick of living to that higher standard. And let's just hit on that for a moment, on standards. Who in here likes the military? Some of you don't, okay? That's fine. It's a question. Well, standards are a thing in the military, are they not? If you want an elite fighting force, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have standards. And when you start eroding those standards, you slip, you slide, you're seduced, you're seared conscience. I've preached that. That is the pattern. That is the downward spiral. And so nowadays, if you say anything about a standard, now you're a Pharisee.
That's right. Got it right there.
Hey, instead of just taking it from the book and seeing what God has to say on some matters, now you're a modern-day Pharisee. Well, let me tell you what a Pharisee is. Matthew 23. I'll tell you one of the things a Pharisee does. He takes the Word of God and he omits the parts he doesn't like. That's what a Pharisee is, and that's what he does. It's not just hemlines and haircuts. No, sir. It's taking things that the book says and throwing them out because you don't agree with them. That's Phariseeism. So, that's what you see in the churches today. Anything goes. No accountability. What you're dealing with is the church at Corinth. And they were spiritual babes. Amen? So he attacks your morals. He attacks your music. And then comes in the marriage. Marriages. You'll notice it's interesting, the three Hebrew boys, none of them were married. They were eunuchs. Daniel, eunuch. Paul the apostle, never got married. Well, there's some benefits to that, because if you're not married, if you're unmarried, you can attend unto the Lord. But if you are married, the tendency is for you to try to please your wife or your husband more than God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 33. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. So what's the problem? Well, he's putting somebody before God. You better be careful who you marry. Marriage is a good thing. If you find a good wife, that's from the Lord, or a husband. But you better be careful who you marry. Solomon was warned in Deuteronomy 7, verse 4, about marrying outlandish women. You're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Because what's going to happen is you think that you're going to marry somebody who's unsaved and you're going to make them be like you. No, usually it's the other way around. You're going to be conformed to their image instead of Christ's image. Amen? Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, David, he had 8 wives that are named, and then he had other wives and concubines. Now, they were told in the law not to do that, Deuteronomy 17. But David did it. Many of the men in Israel did those things, but God allowed it. But see, here's the thing. What you allow, you become. And what you do a little bit of, your children will do a lot of. Amen? So you're looking at about 100 times more wives than David had. And Solomon started out good, but he ended bad. He had no longer any more discernment. And this is the man who wrote Scripture. See, sexual sins lead to spiritual sins. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. Yeah. Christians don't just get to go out there and do anything they please. Right. Christians don't just get to go out there and marry who they please. You better wait for the Lord to bring you the right husband or the right wife. Because if you marry the wrong person, I'm telling you, I can guarantee there's some people in here that would raise their hand and attest to everything I'm saying and say, oh yeah, you better listen to that preacher. You young people, you better understand what I'm saying. You better be careful who you marry. Because here's the thing about, especially in today's society, because sex is so in their face. Okay? And they're setting them up for failure, and they don't even understand all the things that come with it. So if you're going to look for a spouse, okay, here's some good advice that was given to me. I wish it was given to me years ago, okay? But it wasn't. You need to come together socially first. Amen. Hang out. You do the same thing socially. Then you come together spiritually. And lastly, you come together sexually. See, but nowadays, that thing's flipped on its head.
Right.
Everybody wants to start the sexual part, and they just forget about all the other things that are so important. That's a covenant that you're not going to be able to break.
Right.
Amen? And that's gotten this country into a mess. It got the church at Corinth into a mess. fornication. Notice sexual sins lead to spiritual sins. Yeah. It started out with sex with Solomon. It ended with sacrificing the devils.
Yeah.
What do you think's happened to this country? So the morals, the music, the marriages. That's how Satan attacks. He infiltrates. See, if he can infiltrate the church and he can get you to marry the wrong person or get you to start listening to the wrong music, erode your morals, you don't have a church. You have a social gathering, but you don't have a church. Amen? So we got the music, the morals, the marriages. We'll talk about malnourished Christians real fast. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look what Paul says to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Notice how it starts. It starts with the murmuring. You want to see a carnal church? Look at Corinth. Oh, but they were gifted. We got some gifts in this church, but that doesn't make us spiritual. Not if we've got envy, strife, and division. How do you get that? Eating at the devil's table. You can always tell the ones that are eating at the devil's table because that's the one stirring up strife. Says the scripture. See, if you're eating at the Lord's table, you're going to have some charity. You're going to have all the fruits of the Spirit. And you're going to be able to put up with some things and deal with some things in the spiritual manner. And ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. But if you're eating at the devil's table, if you're sitting there all day long looking at the television, looking at your phone, and you never pick up this Bible, you have no discernment. You don't even understand that the devil is using you to stir up strife in a church. Why is that? Because you've got no discernment. Where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, easily entreated, without partiality. So you got to get the wisdom from the book. When you start seeing those things in a church, which we've had plenty of it, I don't care how talented we are. I don't care how many gifts we have. Got a lot of carnality. Because according to the Apostle Paul, you got envy, strife, division. So carnal Christians, they mine earthly things. Whose God is their belly, whose end is destruction. That's what you see back there in the children of Israel. They murmur against Moses and against God. They loathe that manna, that bread. They got sick and tired of this word. So God destroyed them. That's how it starts. Little of this, little of that. Let all things be done without murmurings and disputings. Because those murmurings show that you're unthankful. And in the last days, he says, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of God, despisers of those that are good. Well, he's too straight and he's too strict. How about that guy's trying to be right with the Lord? Am I preaching to you? Amen, brother. So that's a malnourished Christian. If the only thing you ever have to say or talk about is somebody else, that shows me that you're not in that word. If there's never anything spiritual that comes out of your mouth, that's because you gotta keep that heart, for out of it are the issues of life. So if you're not breathing out some spiritual things and saying some spiritual things, that shows me where your head and your heart is. Amen? The devil has got in there. He seduced you. You start listening to another spirit. Why? Because it sounded good. Not that it was right, but that it was good. You see how the devil works? He's subtle. He's more subtle than any beast in the field. So malnourished Christians, they mind earthly things. Their end was destruction. They cannot metabolize meat. They will not endure sound doctrine. They can't take it. This kind of preaching, don't like it. They want to have their ears tickled. Tell me something good about myself. I don't have anything good about myself. I can't say anything because it says it, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, willeth no good thing. So the spiritual man, he wants the spiritual bread and he says, I need it, Lord. I need it. Mature Christians, they can metabolize meat. Can you metabolize this kind of preaching? Can you take it? If you can, that shows some spiritual growth. Amen? Here's the thing about the Lord's meat. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're almost done. God's meat sustains. The devil's meat, which is sin, seduces. And there's pleasure in sin for a season, but there's a comeuppance. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19 on Elijah. I preached on him before. But you see Elijah here, remember what I said, at the time of discouragement. He's disconnected from the Word of God. He's worn out from the ministry, and he's over here under the juniper tree. But look who shows up to help him. Look at verse 5. 1 Kings 19:5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights in the Horeb, the Mount of God. I'll say this, God's meat will give you some mileage. Amen. Just one little meal from the Lord can sustain you for about 40 days. God's meat sustains. You're going to need that meat. Why are you going to need the Lord's meat? Why are you going to need to sit at the Lord's table? He just said it right in the passage, because the journey's too great and the pressure is too great for you to be able to stand in the against the wiles of the devil in the evil day without the Lord's meat. Disappointment is coming. Discouragement's coming. And if you're not eating at the Lord's table, there's going to come a time where there's a temptation. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he went up into that wilderness, but the Lord, he made a table for him in the wilderness. He prepared a table for him amongst his enemies. But obviously the Lord Jesus Christ had been feeding at the Lord's table prior to the temptation. So when the temptation came, he was ready. And the words that came out of his mouth were spiritual. They weren't carnal. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. He pulled out that sword of the Spirit and he stuck the devil. That's the only thing that's going to work. So whose table are you eating at? Have you been eating at the devil's table? Or have you been eating at the Lord's table? And if you haven't been eating at the Lord's table, maybe tonight you can get that right. Get back in the book and get something that will sustain you, not just entertain you. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just do thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the liberty we had tonight, Lord. Just thank you for being in the message. Thank you for all those in attendance, Lord. I just pray that it would help them, would edify them. If they've been away from you, Lord, I just pray that they'd come back tonight. Maybe one's in this house tonight. Maybe one's lost and doesn't know you, doesn't even have a clue about the Lord's meat. Father, maybe tonight's the night. And I pray that you convict them, bring them to your Son, and make them to understand that they need a Savior before it's too late. That table's open to anyone who wants it. And Father, we just do thank you. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. To you say we ask it. Amen. 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 Thank you for listening.